would like us to consider this morning the words of the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." I want just to take those words, "if Christ be not risen." There are a great number of people today, and they have a religion that is a religion of theory and opinion. They have a theory about how the world began. They hold certain opinions about whether there is a heaven or whether there is a hell. They have an opinion on whether the Bible is indeed the inspired, infallible Word of God or not. When it comes to the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, His sinless, perfect life, His miracles, His atoning death, and His bodily resurrection, once again, they have an opinion on these things, or they have a theory about these matters. I would like to say this morning that our religion, my religion, is not based upon opinions or upon theories, but solely based upon fact. Whatever a man's views may be is of little consequence. What does matter are the facts of the case. When those outside the Church of Jesus Christ deny the gospel facts, we, of course, are not at all surprised. For as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so we are not surprised then when men and women outside the Church of Jesus Christ deny the virgin birth, deny the sinless life of Christ, deny His deity, deny His atoning death, deny His bodily resurrection. But we are surprised when we hear of those within the Church who have doubts about the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in our reading this morning, we see that Paul was faced with this problem there in the church at Corinth, because Paul says to those of the church at Corinth, "Therefore, whether it were I," verse 11, "or they, so we preach and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And so Paul here challenges those in the church at Corinth. And he says, "How say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead?" Paul says, "This is what I have been preaching. unto you. This is what you have believed. Namely, that I have preached a risen Christ. You have believed my gospel. How then, say some among you? How have you been persuaded now to believe that there is no resurrection? And then Paul takes up this argument. Paul now says to the saints of Corinth, if there be no resurrection, let us then look at this. Let us examine your statement. And let us say, if there be no resurrection, if Christ be not risen from the dead, what then? If what you say is true, Paul says then, what then? And I want us to consider this morning, dear Christian, where we would be today if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. First of all, we have in this text the resurrection challenged. There were those in the church at Corinth who challenged the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If there be no resurrection from the dead, if Christ be not risen, this is what they said. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then first of all, today, Jesus Christ is dead. If it were true that Jesus Christ is still in the grave, then this day would be a day of lamentation. This would be a day of lamentation instead of a day of celebration. This would be a house of mourning. If Jesus Christ, God's Son, was still lying in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, do you know what we would be praying today? We would be praying in the words of Isaiah, pour in the oil of joy for mourning. And Lord, give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what we would be praying. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then we would be like Jacob this morning. For you remember when his sons came to him with the garment of his dearly beloved son Joseph, the coat of many colors dipped in blood. And his jealous brothers had told their father, oh, some wild beast must have taken Joseph. Jacob was heartbroken, and in Genesis 37, verse 35, we read, Jacob refused to be comforted. Jacob couldn't find any comfort. The wound in his heart refused to heal. He refused to be comforted. Because as far as he was concerned, his dearly beloved son Joseph was dead. And this morning, every one of us who love the Lord Jesus would be a Jacob. We could find no comfort if Jesus Christ is still in the tomb. Think of the shame of defeat that we would have to endure. We would have to say that the Lord was unable to conquer death. We would have to say that death, the last enemy, defeated our Savior. And oh, the shame of defeat. We would be compelled to live in defeat. With death, triumphant song ringing in our ears, we would be indeed of all men most miserable today if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Christianity would be no different, because it is the resurrection of Christ that sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world today. But if Jesus Christ is still in the tomb, then our religion is no different to any other religion in this world today. And what would we have then? We would have a religion that has nothing more than a dead head. We would have to confess that our leader, the captain of our salvation, was defeated on the battlefield of Calvary. We would have to confess our leader, our captain, has fallen in battle. If Jesus Christ be not risen. Think of it another way. What would heaven be like if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead? Think of what heaven would be like without Christ. It wouldn't be heaven. Because Jesus Christ makes heaven what it is. What is hell? Hell is the eternal abode of lost souls. What is it that makes it hell? Jesus Christ is not there. Hell is that place for those who in their lifetime rejected Jesus Christ, and they will spend eternity without Christ. But the glory of heaven is Jesus Christ. Christ is the glory of heaven. He's the Son of heaven. He's the light of heaven. He's the joy of heaven. He's the song of heaven. Therefore, what would heaven be like if Jesus Christ was still in the tomb? We wouldn't be able to sing where Jesus is. 'Tis heaven there. If Jesus Christ be not risen from the dead. And when we think of Calvary today and what Jesus Christ suffered there, that which keeps us going sometimes through the trials and tribulations of life is the thought that one day we shall be with Christ and we shall see Him. Knowing that at Calvary our sins were taken away, we cannot wait to see the one who died in our stead. We cannot wait to see the nail prints in his hands. But if Jesus Christ be not risen, Christian, we have nothing to look forward to. As Paul says here, we are of all men most miserable. If we only have hope in this life and no hope in the life to come, we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus Christ be not risen. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then first of all, Christ is dead. If there be no resurrection, Paul here says, my preaching has been a deception. For he says, if Christ be not risen, then is my preaching vain. The word vain means unprofitable, useless. Paul says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then my preaching is useless. If Jesus Christ is still in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, then my preaching is of no profit to you whatsoever. That's what he said. My preaching is vain, useless, unprofitable. What about those ministers today who occupy pulpits and they don't believe in the resurrection? What about those reverend gentlemen who occupy pulpits today and they deny the bodily resurrection of Christ? Paul says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then his preaching was useless. And the men who deny the bodily resurrection of Christ and they occupy pulpits today, their preaching is useless. We can say that on the authority of the Word of God. Their preaching is of no profit to their hearers whatsoever. Because if you cannot preach a living Savior, what will you preach? What have you to preach? If you cannot preach a risen, exalted Lord. Paul says, if there be no resurrection, then I have no message. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then I have nothing to say. I cannot say to my hearers, look to Jesus Christ and live. If Jesus Christ is dead, I cannot say to my hearers, come to the Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. If Jesus Christ himself is dead. Thank God, Jesus Christ is not dead. And thank God today, we can preach a living Savior. And to all in the meeting this morning who are still unsaved, on the authority of this book, I can say to you, look to Jesus Christ and live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why does a Christian have everlasting life? Because they have their trust and their faith in an everlasting Savior. Why is a Christian's salvation eternal? Because Jesus Christ lives in the power of an everlasting and an eternal life. And so if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ is dead. Paul's preaching says that he was just deceiving people. He takes it a step further. He says, then your faith is vain. In other words, he's saying your faith is only a delusion. You've been deluded. If the Lord be not risen, Then he says, believer, then he says to the Christians there at Corinth, if the Lord Jesus is still in the grave and there's no resurrection from the dead, then you have put your faith in a dead person. They believed that faith in Jesus Christ would bring them everlasting life. Paul says then, if you say that Christ is not risen from the dead, then you've only been deluded. You've been deceived. Your faith then, remember what the word vain meant? What it means? It means useless. Paul says, if there's no resurrection from the dead, your faith is useless. You know what that tells us? That if we put our faith in anything or anyone else other than Jesus Christ, that faith is useless. That trust is useless. It'll be no good to you in eternity. Dear Christian, how would you feel if you were told today that the resurrection is all a hoax? That the Roman soldiers really did keep guard at the tomb and sealed it so that Christ was unable to escape. How would we feel today if, when we went to Israel and went to the garden tomb and saw that tomb there, still sealed? We stood outside and said to our companions, come see the place where he lies. Thank God that wasn't the message of the angels to the visitors to the tomb that resurrection morning. For they said, come see the place where he lies. They said, he is not here. He is risen. They said to Mary, why seek ye the living among the dead? In other words, Christ is alive, they said. And dear hearer, today the message is the same. Jesus Christ is alive. And he's alive forevermore. If Jesus Christ did not conquer death, then Paul says, we are still in our sins. And if we're still in our sins, we're bound for a lost eternity. But thank God the living Christ has taken away our sins. And we're no longer in our sins. Instead, we're in Christ. Paul went on to say, verse 18, then they also, that is, if Christ be not raised from the dead, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins, verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Paul says, if you tell me that you don't believe in resurrection from the dead, then your loved ones, whom you had hoped to see in eternity in heaven, they're not there at all. Instead, they have perished. Paul says, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then saints are doomed. Dread the thought. If there be no resurrection, then Paul says there can't be any salvation. once again, what are those men preaching? They do not believe in the resurrection and deny the bodily resurrection of Christ because there cannot be salvation if you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Romans 10 and 9 tells us that. That if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can't deny the resurrection and be saved. If you deny the resurrection of Christ, there cannot be any salvation. And then, if there be no resurrection, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then our hopes have been dashed. The hope that we now entertain, the hope that we now have, the hope of reaching glory, the hope of crossing over the chilly waters of death and standing on the shores of heaven, the hope of reaching that land that is fairer than day, the hope of being in that place where there is no sorrow, no separation, no suffering. Christ is not risen from the dead. Then those hopes have been dashed. But dear Christian, we know today that those hopes live on. And our hopes burn brightly today because Jesus Christ is alive. And we will reach that land where there is no night, where there are no graves, no coffins, no shrouds, where there is no death, where there is no weeping, for God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Where there is no sorrow, no separations, that hope lives on. Because Jesus Christ lives on. The resurrection challenged. Then you have the resurrection confirmed. We know that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is alive today because, one, it is confirmed by the Scriptures. Paul wrote to Timothy about the Scriptures, and he said in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. Not just bits of it and parts of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And when it comes to correcting erroneous teaching, my, it's good to go to the Scriptures. There's no better place to go to than to the Word of God. Because that's what it is. It's the Word of God. Oh, we hear much about the words of men. Men say, I have a theory and I have an opinion about the resurrection and about the crucifixion and about the Lord's virgin birth. I have a theory. I hold a certain opinion. We hold to the truth of the Bible. And this word is the inspired word of God. And when it comes to correcting, as I've already said, erroneous teaching, we can do no better than to go to the Scriptures. When Christ wanted to slay the dragon in the wilderness, namely the devil, how did he do it? He did it with the Word of God. He said to Satan, "It is written," three times over. He wielded the sword of the Spirit and he slew the dragon. It is written. When he confronted the Pharisees, or rather they confronted him, and they sat in his meetings, and they hoped to catch him out on something he would say or he would do. How did he confound them? He said to them, "Search the Scriptures." He said to them, "Do you not know the Scriptures?" He said to them, "Have you never read?" Every time he went back to the Scriptures. And that's what we do today. We go to the Scriptures. I don't care what professors say. I don't care if they have degrees after their name, the length of your arm. It's what the Bible says. And the Bible says, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ is risen today. We know that, first of all, through the prophecy of Scripture. The Lord Jesus referred to this in John chapter 2 and verse 22. "When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Notice the disciples put the words of Scripture and the words of Jesus Christ on a par. They believed the words of Scripture when, or they remembered the words of Scripture when Jesus was risen from the dead. It had been foretold in prophecy. You say, where? Psalm 16 verse 10 tells us that the Lord Jesus would be led in the grave and the Holy One of Israel would not see corruption. When your body and mine will be led in Mother Earth, led in the grave, our bodies will see corruption. The body will begin to corrupt. But the body of Christ did not corrupt. It would not see corruption. Because sinless blood flowed through the veins of that body, and that body did not lie in the grave more than 3 days. The prophetic words of Scripture, the resurrection, and the person in Scripture, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord himself taught what the Word of God said about his resurrection. Luke 24 and verse 46. And then you have the preaching of Scripture. It was the message of Peter on the day of Pentecost. He preached the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It was the preaching of Paul, Acts 17, verse 3. We know that Christ has risen from the dead is confirmed by the Scriptures, confirmed by the signs. What did the Lord Jesus say to those who were gathered around him? He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews thought he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem, but he was talking about his body. He says, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. He gave them a sign. And then one day when he was preaching about Jonah, he said that as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's belly, so will the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. Just 3 days. That's what the Lord said. So we have his word on it. It's confirmed by the scriptures, confirmed by the signs, and confirmed by the sightings. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 15, and that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12, and that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. On the road to Damascus, of course. And Mary Magdalene saw him. And the women who came to the tomb with her saw him. And the disciples on the road to Emmaus saw him. And Peter saw him. And in the upper room, all the disciples were gathered and they saw him. They not only saw him, they touched him and they heard him speak. The Lord says, touch me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Oh, he's alive, all right. We know that from the scriptures and from the signs and from the sightings. We have the resurrection, and it is a great comfort. It's a great comfort to us to know that our Savior's alive. Because Christ is alive today, think first of all of the happiness it gives us. What does it say of the disciples on the resurrection morning? It says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And they couldn't believe for joy. That's why Christians are happy today. That's why Christians ought to be happy today. Because their Savior has defeated death. And their Savior is alive. Think of the happiness that we receive from knowing Christ is alive. Think of the help. Knowing that when we go through the hard times in life, we have a living Savior beside us. Can you imagine what it would be like for us, dear Christian? Suffering, bereavement, or sickness, or sorrow. And in the time when we need someone to lean on and call upon, to think our Savior's dead, hardly bears thinking about. But he's not dead. And he helps us through these times. And he brings us through. Because he's a living Savior. He's with us every step of the way. And think of the hope. The hope. The hope we now have. Our sins are forgiven. The hope that we have that one day we will indeed enter into heaven. The hope that we have of seeing mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, loved ones who died in Christ and have gone up ahead. The hope of seeing them again. All because Jesus Christ is risen today. Tell me, do you know him? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? He can be your Savior today. And you can know experientially what we're talking about. If you have the living Christ as your Savior, he'll be with you. With you. All the way. You can be saved today. Why not come and receive Jesus Christ and receive eternal life? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father and gracious God, we thank thee for the truth of thy word. We thank the Lord for the facts that we have here contained in this book. And the fact is that that tomb in the garden outside the city of Jerusalem, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, is empty. Lord, what a glorious fact. What a wonderful truth. And we bless Thee, Lord, for the hope that the same Jesus, this same Jesus, is coming again. And He's coming to take His loved ones home. But Lord, we fear today that many are out of Christ and held by many a snare. Lord, we cannot leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. Lord, we pray that some soul today will stay behind. Some soul today will this very hour come and receive Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life in Him. Lord, be with us as we leave this house now. May we go on our way rejoicing like the two on the road to Emmaus. And the Savior, the living, risen Savior, drew near and went with them. He opened to them the Scriptures. They realized that Christ was risen indeed. How they went back to Jerusalem rejoicing. Lord, may we go to our homes rejoicing today that we have as Jesus Christ a living Savior. Bring us back to the house of God this evening. Now, Lord, part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the Lord Himself comes or He calls His people home. Amen.